Okay, Shalom Aleichem. I want to, Be'ezras Hashem, kind of tie up what we discussed last week and then take it to the next step. If you weren't here last week, you'll be fine. It's not going to be continuing exactly. It'll be its own thing, but I want to tie up and then move into our discussion, Be'ezras Hashem. Last week, we discussed how the essence of din was generally understood as a scary word. Din, judgment. The essence of it is Hashem implementing his kingship in our world. Hashem implementing his control. Hashem implementing his reign. And Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin because it's the Yom, it's the day of Malchus Hashem. Why is it the day of Malchus Hashem? Well, Rosh Hashanah is really the beginning of a new existence. The most basic aspect of a new existence is that Hashem Melech. That's what it all starts with. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah, as a new world, as a new beginning, is a day of crowning Hashem. Hashem is crowned as the king of this world. There is din. Hashem implements his kingship by setting things up in order in the way he wants it to be, which is din. And what we got from there was to our understanding about how we are to approach the Yom HaDin. This is actually what Hashem is exhorting us. Hashem is telling us, don't wait for me to come and impose the din upon you. The approach that you can take is the other way around. You turn around to Hashem and we say, Hashem, we understand that this is all really about your Malchus. This is all really about your Malchus. And therefore, we say to Hashem, you know what? In fact, the prospect of you coming with din, instead of that being something scary for us, we're going to turn it into a simcha. We're going to say, we want a world of Hashem Melech. We're embracing a world of Hashem Melech. And that actually is the basis of our zchus on Rosh Hashanah. That's the basis of the confidence of the Jewish people that we will be judged favorably, Be'ezras Hashem. If we say, yes, perhaps throughout the year, again, we have to talk on the personal level. When we talk about a world of Hashem Melech, it's like what Yisrael Salanta used to say, Hashem Melech, a person can be thinking about the vastness of the universe, Hashem Melech in all four directions, infinitely, over all of space and matter, Hashem Melech. But as far as we're concerned, what we're coming and saying is, here's what Yisrael Salanta said. He says, you can be thinking that Hashem should be is the Melech of the entire universe, but you might leave out one small detail in that universe, which is the key detail. That is, he's also the Melech over me. So what we're coming and saying is, Hashem Melech, in my own personal world, in my own personal world, I want to move my world into a world of Hashem Melech. This is the essence of Rosh Hashanah. And that is what will provide us, Be'ezras Hashem, with this chus for a wonderful new year. On a very personal level, we live our lives with Hashem Melech, obviously. But throughout the year, there are different things happening, different distractions. We lose sight. The great chesed of Rosh Hashanah is that Hashem is coming and requiring us to refocus. He says, this is Yom HaDin. Ooh, Yom HaDin, it means that Hashem Melech. I refocus. I move Hashem back into the center of my life, into the center of my focus. And I move into this new world, a world, a very personal world of me with Hashem as my king. Okay. So, if you will, this ties up what we were discussing last week. And now I want to move from here on to the next stage of the discussion. Okay. Excuse me, I'm a, a bit hazy, so bear with me. If we understand what we've just been discussing, then we can answer another very fundamental question too. And that is, how come on Rosh Hashanah we're not busy with tshuva? Rosh Hashanah is day of judgment. And it's as a result of the judgment that we're all busy with tshuva afterwards throughout the Aseret Simei tshuva. Why aren't we busy with tshuva on Rosh Hashanah too? Why aren't we busy with confession, with vidui, etc.? But based on what we've been discussing, the answer is obvious. The root of all the tshuva is, am I living in a reality where Hashem fills my life, where Hashem fills my consciousness, where Hashem fills my mind? If I do, then everything else should be in order. I shouldn't be doing averis. I should be doing everything right, etc. But the root of it all is, am I living with that keen consciousness of Hashem in my life or not? Rosh Hashanah, we're coming and reestablishing that. The focus of my life is Hashem. The guide of my life is Hashem. I'm living a life of intimacy with Hashem. There, I've gotten myself back on track. After that, we move on to the next stage. We move on to the next stage of working out the details. And here we go from here to the next stage of the discussion. That is, that if we really approach it that way, then we can really understand why Rosh Hashanah, why it's not only about refocusing, and it's not only about understanding that this gives us a leg to stand on the Ne'am Adin, but it's also about great celebration. Because ultimately, the essence of a Jew is Hashem's closest relative, Kiviyach, Hashem's children, Kiviyach. If we move back into a world of Hashem Melech, if for us the crowning of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah is a celebration, what we're actually celebrating is the coronation of our Father as the King of our world. Coronation of a king is a very solemn day. It's a very great celebration in any kingdom. But those who are really, really, really celebrating are the king's close family. And this, if we can be serious about the fact that we are celebrating Hashem's coronation, which means, as we said before, Hashem is retaking the throne in my own personal world, in my own personal world. I'm going to move away from here and a reality of Hashem Melech. If that's true for us, then it's actually a great cause for celebration. We're excited about this. We want to be living in a world of Hashem Melech. Even if I do tend to get distracted throughout the year, and I needed that reminder, but Lamaisa, this is a celebration for me. And on the contrary, Hashem is urging us to celebrate, because the truth is, it's an anomaly. We have a festive Suda on Rosh Hashanah. Festive Suda on Rosh Hashanah doesn't make sense, simply understood. Rosh Hashanah is a very scary day. It's a scarier day than Yom Kippur. We should spend a little time talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has to be understood, because the superficial features of Yom Kippur make it look like a scary day, when really it's the other way around. Rosh Hashanah is the scary day. Rosh Hashanah is the scary day. Yom Kippur is a day when we are simply showered, we're washed over with complete love and rachamim. And all the different, so to speak, scary aspects of the day really are our attempts to make the absolute most of the day, to utilize it to the utmost. We want to throw ourselves intensely into it in order to get it in order to get the maximum benefit.
You want to hear Rabbi Jacobson? He's on now. Talking about Rosh Hashanah.
But back to Rosh Hashanah. Back to Rosh Hashanah, we approach the Sudas. And here, I want to move into a little bit of before we move in a little bit, again, excuse me if my thoughts are a little bit disjointed now. Baruch Hashem, I'm home with Corona. So my thinking is a little bit hazy, but Be'ezus Hashem. let's understand that when we're sitting back for a, down for a Seudah on Rosh Hashanah, what's actually happening is something's happening of a much greater level, connecting to something greater. We spoke about this a little bit last Matzei Shabbos. Hashem, again, Kiviyachol, the world is being created. The world is being recreated. This is a new world. Hashem is taking the throne. And Hashem is Kiviyachol telling us, if we could picture what's going on in Shamayim at the moment of a coronation, the celebration of the coronation of Hashem, it's being described a little bit in the Piyutim that we say on Rosh Hashanah, which are describing, if you can follow it, which are describing the grandeur of the Malachim, all just singing that Shira and saying Hashem Melech, Kadosh Kadosh, etc., etc. It's a very, very big deal in Shamayim. And Shamayim, this world is really a tiny speck of existence relative to what's going on there. The fanfare that's going on in Shamayim is something unimaginable. And there is a little speck of existence called Olam Hazeh, where we're kind of out of it, kind of oblivious to the whole thing. The world at its essence is not oblivious to what's going on. The world is really a part of that celebration. I once asked my grandfather many years ago, I said, how are we supposed to celebrate on Rosh Hashanah? It's such a scary day. He said, well, look at the pasuk says. He says, Yismachu HaShamayim, the heavens rejoice, V'sogel HaAretz, the world is the earth is jubilant, Yeram Hayam Umloyoy. The sea and all of its, everything in it are making a big fanfare. Yaloy Sodai V'chol HaShelboy, right? All of the fields are excited. Azir Anu Kol HaTzayar, all of the trees of the forest are singing excitedly. Why? Because Hashem is coming to judge the world, which means that even nature itself is all excited. Just on the conscious level world, we can all be oblivious to what's going on. It's a very, very, very great excitement, the great charge in the air because of the fact that, Kiviyachol, this is the coronation of Hashem. But you know what Hashem says? Hashem says, he's sending us a message and he's saying, you are my beloved children. You are my beloved children. I sent you off for a mission to Olam Hazeh. 150-year mission, Bezras Hashem, very short in the longer scheme of things. We're going to come back to rejoin our father in his palace for billions of years afterwards. But he sent us off for a short mission in Olam Hazeh. We're going to call it, for each of us, Bezras Hashem, 150 years, but it's not that long. Olam Hashem says, you're not present at my coronation. I want you to be. And therefore, I want there to be satellites on earth, extensions of that celebration. Every shul is connecting to what's going on in Shamayim, right? When we're busy singing those piyutim, we're busy saying Hashem Melech, etc. And when we're blowing the shofar and crowning Hashem Kiviyachol, we're connecting to that very, very great celebration in Shamayim. But the truth is that even more than that, Hashem's main attentions are here. Hashem's main attentions are here because, again, this is where his children are celebrating his coronation. And when we sit down at our Yom Tov Suda, when we sit down at our Yom Tov Suda on Rosh Hashanah, what we're sitting down is to the coronation feast. The coronation feast, we are one branch of that very, very great banquet celebrating the crowning of Hashem. And this is what we should be sensing when we're sitting down for the Suda. Don't sit down for the Suda that, okay, it was a long davening in shul and now we can just sit down and relax a bit. Don't relax. Rosh Hashanah is a little bit different than the other Yom Tovim in this sense. You have to keep focused the whole time on the seriousness of the Yom HaDin, but to appreciate what it is you're celebrating. You're sitting down to the celebration feast of the coronation of your father as king. You're sitting down to celebrate that with your family, as Kiviyachol, the closest circles of that great king. This is what we're celebrating. But as we discussed, we have to remain conscious of what's going on. This is something that's stressed in the Poskim. Because the truth is, you know, that the whole concept of Rosh Hashanah Suda really is not simple. It was actually debated in earlier times. There were many who fasted on Rosh Hashanah. There were many who fasted on Rosh Hashanah. That's not what's accepted as the halacha. but it still has a certain place in halacha. Meaning, halacha still acknowledges, it recognizes those who still maintain that minhag of fasting on Rosh Hashanah. But it's not the standard halacha. We have to realize that there's a certain statement being made. It's not like all the Yom Tovim where, obviously, of course we celebrate, it's the day of celebration. No, there's a chiddush that's being stated here, that even though Rosh Hashanah is what it is, still we're going to sit down and celebrate along the lines that we've been discussing. If we can really connect to the essence of the day as a celebration, that puts us in the best place possible. But the Sfarim say, it has to be a different kind of celebration. We want to remain focused on what's going on throughout the day. This is something that it says in the Sfarim. A person never knows when his judgment is actually being finalized. Not exactly finalized, right? We know that the finalization is in Yom Kippur. What I mean to say is, when is his judgment actually being addressed? It's a complex business exactly how it works on Rosh Hashanah. There's an aspect where each person is judged individually. There's an aspect where all of Klal Yisrael is judged together. There's an aspect where the entire world is judged together. There's an aspect of din that's being locked in at the moment of Tkiyas Shofar. But then there's also aspects of the din that are being locked in at any given point throughout those 48 hours. There's also aspects of the first day and aspects of the second day. The first day is a little bit of a tougher, harsher judgment. The second day is a bit of a softer, easier judgment. I can't explain all this. I don't know. But one thing that is stressed is that we have to realize that all throughout the day, our behavior can very, very much affect what's going on up in Shamayim. And therefore, it's very important to remain focused throughout the Sudas, throughout the time that we're not in Shul, throughout the time we are in Shul. We have to say that. But to remain focused and to realize that I want my behavior at any given moment to be able to be representative of where I'm holding. That Kiviyochel, Hashem should be able to come catch me, so to speak, at any given moment on Rosh Hashanah and say, okay, yeah, this is the state I want to be in at the moment that I'm being judged. And I'll put it this way. This is how it's put in the Sfarim. The Maharal makes this point. And Ritzvi Meir Zilberberg Shlita takes it much further and really bringing it home. Maral says that Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, Rosh Hashanah is called the head of the year. He says there's a very literal aspect, a very literal meaning to that. The head doesn't just mean the beginning of the year. It means the head in the biological sense also. If we think of the year as a body, Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that we know that the brain controls the entire body. And I saw this whole description of a brain surgery where they're describing that, you know, when the brain is open and exposed, you have to make things in the operating room have to be extremely sterile. I once accompanied my daughter in the operating room for an orthopedic surgery on her knee. And I remember being like a little surprised at the nonchalant approach that was there. I was thinking that who knows what, you know, you have to wash yourself and this and that and this, you know, the sterile. Man, wasn't really a very big deal. I had to put on a tichel and I had to put on a gown. And for whatever reason, they made me put on big blue socks over my shoes. But it wasn't really a very big deal. It was like people were coming and going freely, and they didn't even put a mask on me. And that was a surgery on a knee, an orthopedic surgery. Now, I saw a description of this. Baruch Hashem was never actually present, but at a brain surgery where the brain is actually exposed, at the extreme chumras that they implement to make sure that the room stays as sterile as it needs to be. And how when you come in, they only open one door after the other door is closed, and the extent of scrubbing that has to go on, and the measures that they take to make sure that no germ can infiltrate. Because anything that can get into any part of the brain can have devastating results. But then taking it to the next step, when the surgeon is actually busy, the realization that a wrong move, it touches a certain part of the brain in the wrong way could be paralyzing the left leg. A different part might be rendering the person blind. Everything has an effect. Every different part of the brain will be affecting a different part of the body, a different part of the functioning of the body, etc. Very serious business. So the Maharal says that when we talk about Rosh Hashanah as the Rosh Hashanah, it's the head of the year. What we mean is that, yeah, the year is being laid out now. The year is being laid out throughout this day. It's like Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to say. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz got bronchitis and tavis. So he would say, I got sick on Rosh Hashanah. I got sick on Rosh Hashanah. And if that bronchitis, Fort Tavis was already laid into the blueprint of the year on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is kind of like a stem cell. It has in it the entire year folded up inside it. It's all there. The bronchitis and tavis, the business failure in July, etc. And then it just all unfolds. And also the other tzadim, the shidduch that will happen, the raise in salary, the successes in learning, it's all there. Afterwards, it just unfolds. So, the understanding that whatever we're doing on Rosh Hashanah, we don't know how that can be affecting the year. We don't know how that can be affecting the year. And therefore, to be in a state of constant alertness. What should that alertness look like? It doesn't look tense. We'll explain momentarily. But we do want to be conscious of the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah all the time. Throughout these 48 hours, it's Rosh Hashanah. We want to be conscious of that. And that has a lot of different manifestations. Just to give an example. We'll coming back to the Suda of Rosh Hashanah. We all sit down with the simanim on Rosh Hashanah. Various types of foods that we have as a sign that this should be good, a sign that that should be good, right? We have the apple and honey as a siman that we should have a good, sweet year. We eat fish that we should multiply like fish. We eat the head of the fish, we should be like the head, not like the tail. I'll just throw something in parentheses there. Parenthetically, Tzadik asks, why do we daven that we should be like the head and not like the tail? It seems to go against a dictum of Chazal. Chazal say, better to be the tail of lions than to be the head of foxes. Meaning, if there are two societies you can be a part of, one is a much higher level society, and you'd be struggling to keep up, better to be a part of that society, to be held up to higher standards, than to be in a different society where you'll be the best one there. So the better to be a tail to lions than the head to foxes. So why are we davening in such an absolute way that we want to be the head, not the tail? Maybe sometimes better to be the tail. So Tzadik says something very interesting. He says, We're talking about each person as an individual. We're not talking about your place in society. There's a range of potential that you have, of things that you can accomplish throughout the year. What you're davening for is, in my own personal bracket, I want to be at the head, not at the tail. I want to come out at the of this year as the most ideal, optimal Binyamin Jacobson, not the more b'di'eved, lower end Binyamin Jacobson that could have been. This is what we mean when we're saying Shania Lerosh Velelazanov. But whatever the case is, let's come back to the concept of the simanim. We're eating pomegranates as a siman that we should have many merits, etc. All these different types of things that we're eating, each one with its good symbolism, with its positive symbolism, etc. What's the meaning of all this? We're also told to avoid eating nuts. We're told to avoid eating nuts because nut, a guy's, has the same gematria as chet. It has the same numerical value as chet, as an avera. You're supposed to avoid eating nuts. We're very, very sensitive to what things symbolize on Rosh Hashanah. By the way, the Gera Rebbe said, the Beis Yisrael, he said, we avoid nuts because it has the same gematria as chet. You have to remember that chet also has the same gematria as chet. You want to avoid that too. Whatever the case is, we're busy. We're very, very busy, very sensitive. What does this symbolize? What does that symbolize? We go, we don't eat sour foods on Rosh Hashanah, right? We make a point of avoiding sour foods. No pickles on Rosh Hashanah. Only sweet things, rich things. What's the idea? So the idea is, well, there are two levels to the idea. There are really two levels to the idea. Both of them have relevance to us. One of them is that it's not about symbolism, really. It's not about symbolism. What it is about what we discussed before. We're sitting down at a Suda. We want to keep focused and conscious on what's going on. And therefore, we eat foods that we want remind us. We want to have a year of multiplying. We want to have a year of merit. We want to have a sweet year this year. We don't want you to just sit down and fall into the food and forget about what's actually going on. And therefore, we sprinkle throughout the Suda foods that keep us focused on the fact that the sweetness of my year is being decided now. And then there's another, I'll call it a bit of a deeper level to it also, and that is that it kind of comes back to what we said before. Since Rosh Hashanah is mamish like the stem cell of the year, we want to actually begin experiencing sweetness now. We want to experience sweetness now, and therefore we're eating apple with honey. And that way, so to speak, we're already locking in. The year already started. I put a sweet ingredient into the year, and therefore, the year's already started on a sweet foot. I already have sweetness in my year. That is liable to continue throughout the year. Meaning, according to both explanations, it's more than just symbolism. It's one, the first explanation is that I am putting my consciousness, my focus into the right place. Because that way, I'll keep myself reminded of it. I'll constantly be on that best behavior. And the second explanation is that I'm actually implementing it. I'm eating things that hold certain favorable signs so that I've started my year off in a favorable way. I'm already locking those favorable aspects into my year. I've started the year right. But therefore, the Mishnah Berurah comes and says, and this is something I've said that we always begin our Rosh Hashanah Suda by quoting this, sometimes right before Kiddush, sometimes right after Kiddush. The Mishnah Berurah says, yes, we're eating all these different things for their symbolism. But you have to remember that a greater siman of all is your disposition. Kas, you want to avoid any kas, any expressions of aggravation on Rosh Hashanah. You want your disposition, you want your state of mind to be in a place that you want to be reflected throughout the year. And what is that? The Mishnah Berurah says, serious, focused, but happy, serene, tranquil, relaxed, not tense, avoiding to whatever extent we can any negative interaction, any expressions of anger, impatience, etc. We want to, it comes back to what we're saying before, this is a stem cell. We want to lay down across these 48 hours to whatever extent we possibly can an aura of peace, of happiness, regardless of what's going on around me. And this, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, is actually the greatest siman of all. So we're going into Rosh Hashanah with this understanding, with the understanding that it's a very, very high stakes. But Hashem is giving us a lot of input into those stakes. The way we approach it is very much going to determine those stakes. If we move into Rosh Hashanah as a celebration of Hashem Melech, that already puts us into a very good place. And if we can keep focused and we can consciously be inserting what we want into that new year. Again, Rosh Hashanah is a certain capsule of the entire year where we're given the opportunity to insert what we want into it. In terms of positivity, in terms of happiness, in terms of sweetness, we want to utilize that these opportunities. And the understanding that everything that we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is setting a certain tone for the year. And that's why the Sfarim make a big deal about, and here also Tzvi Meir Zilberberg elaborates this on this at greater length, the understanding that everything that we're doing now is setting a certain tone. The first feel of the year. The first feel of the year. You want that to carry a certain power. You want it to carry a certain passion. You want it to carry a certain sense of closeness that you want to imbue into the Koyach of the Tfilas throughout the year. The first Ma'ariv, the first Shachris. Break it down even more. The first Bracha that you make on Rosh Hashanah. The first Birkas HaShachar. The first Birkas HaTorah. But it goes further. And here, coming back to the points that we've been discussing. Your first interactions with people on Rosh Hashanah. What do I want them to look like? That's why, in many shuls, it's a long process after davening. Rabbi Victor Miller, it was a longer nusach. He said, "L'shana tova tikasev sechosem la'alta l'chaim tovim ul'shalom." The Sifron Shal Tzadikim Gemurim. That's what he would say to each individual. And I never heard anybody else say that whole long nusach until last night. I was on the phone with David. He gave me my bracha for the new year. I'm not going to be in shul on Rosh Hashanah. He gave me my bracha for the new year. I'm not sure to say the same nusach from Avigdor Miller. I was very happy to hear that. He said that's what he heard from Rav Soloveitchik, that that's what Rav Chaim Brisky used to say. L'shana tova tikasev sechosem la'alter. You should be written and signed for a good year immediately. L'chaim tovim ul'shalom, for good life and for peace. B'sifron shel tzadikim gemurim, in the book of the absolute righteous. Now, this seems like a greeting. You say good Shabbos to people, and then Rosh Hashanah, the greeting is a bit more elaborate. But the truth is that no. Many of our great gedolim used to make a very serious avodah on this, because this is an opportunity on Rosh Hashanah to give brachas to Jews, to put in a tefillah for a Jew. Realize that you're putting in a mini tefillah there, even if you just say the smaller nusach, l'shana tova tikasev v'sechasem, may be written and signed for a good year. Don't just say that as a lengthy greeting, but realize that there's a certain tefillah here, and you want to utilize the opportunity. This is, first of all, it's your first greeting of another Jew of the year. You want to do that with a big smile. You're in shul, at home, with your family members. This is the first time I'm giving somebody a greeting, and I want to do it b'seva panim yafas. But besides that, I am benching another Jew. I'm giving a bracha to another Jew. I want to do that with thought. I want to think beforehand. What do these words mean? And with each Jew that I'm going to actually give this bracha to, whether it's other people in shul, whether it's my family members, make a point of saying it with kavanah, with kavanah. And you're earning yourself, on Rosh Hashanah, you're earning yourself the very great bracha that Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, V'avorcha mevarechecha, I will bless those who bless you. Rabbi Victor Miller made a big deal about this. This is a way of earning Hashem's blessing. How? By blessing other Jews. So this is another thing that you want to be thinking into on Rosh Hashanah. This is my first Sefer Panim Yafes of the year. First time I'm greeting another person. I'm setting a certain tone for the year. I'm giving another Jew a bracha. I want to give that a certain kavana. And then, yes, sitting down at the table, my interactions with my family. These are firsts for the year also. We want to be setting tones. And you know what? Let's bring that together. Let's bring that together with what we've been talking about, of moving into a world, a zone of Malchus Hashem, of Hashem Melech. I move into a world of Hashem Melech means that I am submitting myself to Hashem's Malchus. I'm submitting myself to Hashem's kingship. We talked about this a lot over the last 2 years. We're very much Corona, which I understand actually means crown. Corona is so much about the ability to bow our heads and say we're accepting a world that's in Hashem's control. We're accepting a world that's in Hashem's control. So in Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about moving into a realm of Malchus Hashem, of Hashem Melech. So let's apply this again to the Rosh Hashanah table. I'm going to sit down at the Rosh Hashanah table, and instead of deciding, you know, what could actually happen is, I say, okay, this is something so elevating, so uplifting. I want my table to be a zone of Hashem Melech, to be that elevated zone. And then you know what? Two of the kids start fighting like they usually do. And you go nuts. This is a day of Hashem Melech. How can you be fighting like this now? And quickly, as has happened with many other Suthers, the Rosh Hashanah table turns into one big mess of the parents yelling at the kids, and the kids yelling at the parents, and the parents yelling at each other, etc. Hashem Melech means that this is me and Hashem. I am moving. I'm going to sit down at this table, sitting down at Hashem's table. Hashem Melech, whatever's going to be going on around me is Hashem imposing it on me, and I'm going to accept it as coming from Hashem. If the Suda doesn't roll along in the way that I intended, Hashem Melech, I'm submitting myself to Hashem's Malchus. After all, it's His coronation, not mine. It's His coronation, not mine. And therefore, I'm just going to sit there again with that happy disposition, let things roll, submit myself to Hashem's reign. But as far as I'm concerned, what I will be radiating to the people around me will be, again, that sweetness, that pleasantness, the strength, the serene sense that I want to characterize my year. I want my year to be characterized by that. So my Rosh Hashanah table is not going to depend on the behavior of the people around me. My Rosh Hashanah table is going to be a Rosh Hashanah table of, again, Hashem Melech. But what I'm going to be doing, as far as I'm concerned, is the reality of the sensitivity of the time and how my mood, my disposition, can actually be now locked into something that's going to characterize the entire year moving forward. So I'm going to make my disposition be what I want my year to be characterized as. Now, taking this idea further, the understanding that, again, it's a time of firsts. It's a time of setting the tone for the entire year. And here I want to share something that Rabbi Meir Zilberberg, in his elaboration on this, said something so powerful and so relevant and spot on. He said there's another first throughout the year. There's another first that we'll have the opportunity to do on Rosh Hashanah. Another first is the first time of getting back on track after you lost it, after you did mess up. That's also a first. Sometimes a person might be standing on Rosh Hashanah. We can apply this to losing it at the table. We can apply it to waking up in the middle of one of the most fundamental tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah. Wake up in the middle of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah and you realize, whoa, I moved through the whole bracha of Malchus on a different planet, spaced out. And the natural feeling might be, oh boy, so I blew it. I blew it. Rabbi Zvi Meir Zilberberg said, so good, so poignant. He said, there's another first on Rosh Hashanah. There's a first of getting yourself back on your feet after you fell. That's also something that is an inherent part of our regimen. It's a lechatchila part, meaning it's not an after-the-fact kind of thing. If you fell, you have to get yourself back on your feet. No, an inherent part of our spiritual program, of what we are as human beings who are trying to become great, an inherent building block is the way we get back on our feet after we fall. And therefore, we might be thinking on Rosh Hashanah, you know, if I could just get through the whole thing on that high cloud, that would be beautiful. But you know what? If you didn't, if you lost it at some point, if you fell at some point, appreciate that here you have another opportunity to get in another very, very important building block in the ideal way. Get myself back on my feet. I'm doing this on Rosh Hashanah too, in the ideal way, in an optimal way. He said that that's a major part of the lesson of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. happened. You messed things up on the first day. Let's say this you didn't do right, that you didn't do right. You feel like, oh, I blew my Rosh Hashanah. We're coming and telling you, no, no, no. A big part of Rosh Hashanah is, of what Rosh Hashanah is, do it again. Get yourself back on your feet. Don't decide, okay, I lost and that's it. It's far falling. So you don't have to wait for the second day for that either. Something fell at some point. Pick it up. Pick it up and decide this is going to be setting the tone for the way I'll be getting myself back on my feet all throughout the year. Be'ezras Hashem. Another thing, I guess this is more relevant to men than to women, but probably relevant to women in their way also. One of the most exhausted tefillahs of the year is Mincha and Rosh Hashanah. Been through a very, very intense morning. You had a Suda. Some people also try not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah afternoon. Even if you do, you're not going to fill the deficit. Mincha is a very exhausted time. Here, Tzvi Meir Zilberberg said, this is another first. It's a first exhausted tefillah. He called it a minchas ani. It's a poor man's offering to Hashem. The Ma'ariv of Rosh Hashanah, you come in enthused, and it's full of passion, it's full of vigor, shachris, musaf. Mincha, you're already just so tired. He says, you know what? In the morning, you bought Hashem fat oilets, fat oxen as karbanis. Now you're bringing him a poor man's mincha, a poor man's karban. I'm exhausted, I barely have any koyach, but Hashem, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to offer you what I have now. It's another thing that's of immense value, because also throughout the year, there will be situations you'll be offering fat oilers, and there will be situations you can be offering poor man's karban. To realize that Hashem, with His great chesed, is giving us so much input into the way the din should manifest, into the way the din should play out. He's inviting us to be a part of that process of Malchus Hashem. He's inviting us to be celebrants of it. And He's giving us all the different dips we need to be able to affect it, to be able to set it on the right track. He wants us to get the most favorable output that we can. Be'ezras Hashem, we'll take advantage of it, and we'll all be zoicha to a great year, a ksira v'chasim ha-teva, a year that will see all of the different events of our world lead into the culmination of the true gilui of Malchus Hashem in our world. A good gebench to all.
Amen. A good
gebench
to you, a ksira v'chasim ha-teva.